You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, I'm feeling a little feisty. I've got something bugging me, man. And it might come out in the program today that I'm a little feisty, a little bit irritated. We'll find out if it does come out that way. Now, maybe I can keep it under control. Maybe I can be the normally calm self that I try to portray myself as without, as opposed to this inner storm that I'm always trying to hold back. But I just want to warn you, I might be a little bit passionate today about what today's topic is. Might not, might so. We'll just see what happens. It's Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings. Welcome today to the Career Callings radio show, where our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. You can join us by phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or via email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. Now, here's what's making me feisty, okay? I want to start out with this question. When you go to work, why do you really go? Maestro, when you go to work, why do you really go?
To get a paycheck.
To get a paycheck. The typical answer, you're making me mad, I'm feisty. And that's a typical answer, and I got to admit, I would answer that question that way. Would have answered that question that way most of my life. But that's really not why we're supposed to go to work, at least not according to God's plan. No, the purpose of work is not to make money. The purpose of work, as God intended it, is to glorify Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Number two, serve others. Matthew 22:36-40 talks about the two great commandments, the second of which, of course, is to love thy neighbor as thyself, which means through our workplace and outside of the workplace as well, but certainly in the workplace, our job is to serve our neighbors, ourselves. And number three, provide an enjoyable pastime for ourselves while we accomplish purposes one and two. And that's Ecclesiastes 5:18, which says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion." Money is just the byproduct. The purpose, the focus of what we're supposed to be doing, glorify God, serve others, provide an enjoyable pastime while we do bullet points one and two. But if we focus on money as the sole goal rather than the byproduct, we're going to set ourselves up for really messing up something that God does not want us to mess up. And what do I mean by that? All right, let me ask you this question. What happens, if anything happens, in your workplace that makes it impossible for you to fulfill those biblical principles I just mentioned? Something's going on at work that enables you, or prevents you rather, from glorifying God, from serving others according to biblical wisdom, and to provide an enjoyable pastime for you while you do those first two things. What happens if something comes up? If you're really focused on money, if money is the goal, if money is the purpose, then if something comes up that threatens those biblical goals, you will compromise. You will compromise. You will think to yourself, well, I can do it this time because, you know, you'll justify it. I can do it this time. I'll just do it this once, and I'll get this monkey off my back, so to speak, and I'll go ahead and move forward with that, and God will forgive me for that. Oh, really? Do you know anywhere in the Bible where God is like, that's okay. I'll let you get by with that sin this one time. Next time, just be a little bit more careful. No, God's a holy God. He doesn't really care for you to sin even once. Now, obviously, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them But if money at work is your main goal, you will justify compromising biblical principles because you'll be worshiping at the altar of money instead of worshiping at the altar of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, we do expect to get a paycheck when we work. That's fine. And I understand that. That's fine. I understand that. But what the deal is here is you want to make sure that when you wake up every morning and you go to work, money's the byproduct, not the goal. And if it's not, if your goal is not to glorify God, you might end up messing up in a big way. That disglorify, is that a word, disglorify? It certainly would not glorify the Lord. It would certainly make him bad, and it also will hurt your testimony as well. Now, what do I mean by this, or what drove me to this point, I guess I should say? Well, a few weeks ago, back in mid-February of this year, I ran across a story, an article about a story that I had heard of kind of in passing, but I really hadn't paid much attention to. I shouldn't say it that way. I really didn't know that many details about. That's a better way to say it. And it was about a grandmother named Baronelle Stutzman. Baronelle Stutzman is the owner of a florist shop in the state of Washington, Arlene's Flowers. She has been in the florist business for 40 years. Don't recall if she actually has owned the florist shop the entire 40 years, but she certainly has been in that business for a long time. She's 70 years old now. Southern Baptist lady, and very much wants to serve the Lord through her business. But throughout her business time in the florist business, she has served and even hired folks that are homosexual. She's delivered flowers for them. She's provided arrangements for them. She's even hired them, as I mentioned. And she befriended some years ago a guy named Rob Ingersoll. Roughly 10 years ago now, Rob started coming into the florist shop, and Rob was or is a homosexual, and she knew that, and she still befriended him and treated him very kindly, and he spent a lot of money at the florist shop over the years. Back in 2013, however, not long after the state of Washington legalized same-sex marriage, Rob went to Arlene's Flowers, talked to Baronelle Stutzman, and said, "I'd like for you to do the flowers for our wedding." And Baronelle struggled with that a little bit, but pretty quickly, after she and her husband talked it through, she respectfully and regretfully turned Rob down and said, "Rob, you know, I'm happy to do all kinds of stuff for you, but this is where I have to draw the line, because I'm a Christian and I don't believe in same-sex marriage, and just cannot in good conscience provide you with flowers for your wedding." Well, Rob didn't care for that too much, and Rob has since sued her. The Attorney General of the state of Washington has sued her, and it has gotten nasty. And on February 18th of this year, a Washington judge ruled that Baronelle Stutzman violated the law when she refused to provide flowers to Rob and his, bride is how you would say it. And Superior Court Judge Alex Ekstrom found that she had violated state consumer protection laws and anti-discrimination laws, and he rejected her attorney's arguments, that her actions were protected by her freedom of speech and religion. And just to kind of hear a little bit more about the case, I'd like to play an audio clip here in just a second that will tell us, show us a little bit more about the facts of the case, how Baronelle responded to the case, and also how her attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom is responding to it as well.
She's the most kind, gentlest soul you'll ever meet. You go into her shop, you're going to get a hug. And so she's very warm. And she had established a really warm relationship with Rob Ingersoll, who had been in 9 years and would come in and spend a good amount of money throughout the year. And they had gotten to know each other pretty well.
He has a very creative mind. And so we just sort of hit it off.
At one point, he decided to get married a few months after same-sex marriage became legal in Washington State. And he, of course, wanted her to do it.
It was a real struggle to decide what to do with that. My husband and I talked it over, and, you know, as much as I love Rob, I just couldn't be a part of that. If I did Rob's wedding, it would be from my heart, because I think he's a really special person, and I would want to make it really special for him. So, It wasn't something that I flippantly said, oh, I'm not going to do Rob's wedding because he's gay. When I talked to Rob, I did not think this would be a major issue. I was very surprised at that.
The Attorney General's action in this case is unprecedented in Washington State. We have never had an Attorney General take the position that this Attorney General has taken. Now the ACLU's piled on, and the same-sex couple have sued her as well. And interestingly, they have sued her in her personal capacity as well as her business. So she is at great risk. As a result of serving someone lovingly and admittedly in a kind way for 9 years, and because you won't do one same-sex wedding, you're going to lose your house or your business. And she's been working in this business for 40 years. As she'll tell you, marriage represents the relationship of Christ and his church. It's a sacred covenant.
Marriage is a sacred, very sacred thing. You want flowers for your anniversary or your birthday or whatever, that's fine. But I just cannot do a same-sex marriage. I have to have faith that he's going to protect me and give me the courage and the knowledge and the wisdom to stand firm on this. But it's also helped me understand what obedience is and what, I'm going to cry, and what following Christ is. You know, you can't sit on the fence, like he says. You can't be lukewarm. And that's what I was lukewarm.
And if we're not careful, we'll be lukewarm too. And stories like Baron L's just make you ask the question of yourself, what would I do in that situation? And that's what I'm asking you right now. What would you do if you're going to work for the money? Then you're not going to make the same choice she did. If you're going to work to glorify God, then you'll take a stand when you need to. And Stutzman went on to say in other places and other articles that she's going to hold to her faith and her religious beliefs no matter what the state of Washington does. If they take everything she owns, she's going to stand by her God. Would you do that? Would you stand on God's side in a situation like this no matter what? Or would you give in and compromise for the paycheck? Think about that. And we'll see you on the other side of the break. I heard a famous author say once that no matter how fantastic your book is, it will never be a best-selling book until you promote. The same is true with whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a product for work, a fundraiser for your school, or a nonprofit's message to the world. Great signage is the foundation of any marketing effort, and no one is better at providing you with great signage than my friends at Signforce. Joey Harrison and his staff are a one-stop shop for all of your marketing needs. Handcrafted signs, vehicle wraps, screen printing, embroidering, business cards, and brochures. There's nothing the folks at Signforce can't do. I've personally used Signforce for signage for my business and for our church, and Signforce has beautifully wrapped two buses for our Christian school. If you need to promote anything, Signforce will deliver a great product at a great price and with great speed. Give Joey and his folks a call at 864-582-3600 or check out their website at signforcesc.com. That's 864-582-3600, signforcesc.com.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Michael is an adoptee himself. Gina was a birth mother at age 20. Together, the Smiths have adopted children. And through all of these experiences, they are uniquely qualified to share the love of Christ with all parties involved in the adoption process through Hope Embraced Adoption Agency. Hopebound Ministries has partnered with the Smiths to make adoption services available to families who otherwise would not be able to afford adoption services. To donate to or to apply for financial help regarding the Smiths' adoption services, please visit hopebound.org. That's hopebound.org.
Whoa! There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
Weekday mornings from 7 to 9, Dr. Tony Beam hosts Christian Worldview Today on Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart-connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, I want to pick up where we left off, talking about Baronelle Stutzman and her choice to stand by her God as opposed to the pressures of the world when it came to serving a couple with a same-sex marriage floral arrangement. Robbie Romeiser here with Career Callings. If you'd like to join us on the show today, feel free to do so at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. Baronelle Stutzman's situation is not an isolated incident. In the past year, Louis Giglio, an evangelist, due to his Christian views on marriage, got him removed from the president's inauguration address last year. Brendan Eich, former CEO of the Mozilla company that provides or produces, among many things, the Mozilla Firefox internet browser, was dismissed from his job due to his support for traditional marriage. Kelvin Cochran's Christian faith got him fired from his position as fire chief in Atlanta, Georgia. Two bakers in Oregon, the state of Oregon, had to shutter their business and are now facing bankruptcy for refusing to participate in a gay wedding. So, you know, it all goes back to, and I don't want to focus just on this issue of same-sex marriage. You know, obviously, as in all cases, we ought to love such people, anybody who's doing something against biblical principles, whether it's big or small, if I can say it that way. We got to love them. We ought to try to draw them to Christ, but we do not need to respect, and we should not respect, unholiness, just like God does not respect unholiness. And if we're supposed to have His mind and His character in our lives, that extends into the workplace as well, which is why this subject matter is coming up on this kind of a show. It is something that we have to take with us and should take with us in every aspect of our lives, including the workplace, whether it threatens our business or our job. Are you in it for the money? Are you in it to glorify God like you're supposed to be? Now, I understand that it's a lot harder to glorify God through your work if you don't really have a strong faith in God. There's a lot of folks out there that are Christians, a lot of folks that call themselves Christians who aren't, a lot of folks who are Christians who have a weak faith. And I'll be honest with you, I was one of those. I got saved when I was 11 years old. But I was raised in the public school system of where I grew up, and I went to a secular college. And throughout those years of my teenage years and early 20s, I was bombarded with all kinds of secular arguments against Christianity, which produced a very weak faith in me. In my early to mid-20s, really closer to mid-20s, I experienced a personal revival that I can clearly track the dawn of, I guess you can say it that way. It was a Worldview Weekend conference in Charlotte, North Carolina, when I was in my mid-20s. And I went there and was exposed for the first time to the world of Christian apologetics. And Christian apologetics, basically, the way I describe it, this is the science, the reason, and mathematics that proves Christianity is true. And for the first time, I heard the arguments that made all the other stupid arguments I heard in public school and in college go away. And through this personal revival, through exposing myself to those types of arguments, my faith was deepened, and I understood that it applied not just to my life in church. It applied to my life at home. It applied to my life at work. It applied to my life. God's ways apply to my life no matter where I am. And so what I want to do for just a minute or two is share with you just one of the many, many arguments that helped me understand, or I guess should say helped me to acquire a deeper appreciation of God's reality and of the fact that I owe Him everything and that I should live my life according to His principles no matter where I am, including the workplace. A guy named Peter Stoner, and this occurred way back in the 1950s, so it's not like it happened yesterday. It's been around for 60, 70 years. Peter Stoner wrote a book called Science Speaks, and I forget exactly where Peter was a mathematics professor, but he was a mathematics professor at a couple different colleges, actually ran a college at one time. So it's not like this guy was stupid. He was trained in the field of mathematics. And in his book, Science Speaks, he calculated the odds of just one man fulfilling just 8 of the Old Testament prophecies pertaining to the Messiah. And when he did that calculation, he said that the odds of just one man fulfilling just 8 of the Old Testament prophecies pertaining to the Messiah, that was a number I'll tell you, but if you're like me, you don't have any idea what it means. It was equivalent to 10 to the 17th power. Now, to me, to you, people who are non-math people, that doesn't mean anything. So this is how Stoner described it in his book. Suppose that we take 10 to the 17th power silver dollars and lay them on the face of the state of Texas. That many silver dollars will cover all the state of Texas 2 feet deep. Now, if you were to mark one of those silver dollars, stir the whole pile thoroughly all over the state, then blindfold one man, tell him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up one silver dollar and say that that's the right one. The chance that he would get that right is the chance that one man would fulfill just 8 prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. That's how crazy it is. Now, let me test your biblical trivia knowledge real quick, Maestro. You ready? You think you can chime in here for me?
We'll try.
All right. How many prophecies are there in the Old Testament regarding the coming Messiah?
77
is a fantastic guess, but wrong answer. Want to try again?
177.
You know what? You're getting warmer, but you're still way off base. How about going a little higher?
Last chance.
Three's a charm.
I like 377.
You know what? That was very close. Approximately 300. There are approximately 300 references in the Old Testament to the New Testament Messiah we know as Jesus Christ. And if it was that impossible mathematically for just 8 of those to be met, it is an incalculable number statistically for one man to fulfill 300 plus or minus prophecies in the from the Old Testament regarding the Messiah. To me, and now I haven't touched math since I graduated from college 20 years ago. But prior to that, I was a math geek. Okay, I was actually on the math team in high school. Now I can't remember how to add 2 plus 2 without a calculator. But at one point, I was into math. So when I read that and learned that, it spoke to me. It spoke to me in a massive way and helped me to understand that God is real. And no matter where we are, including the workplace, our obligation is first to glorify Him. The paycheck is a secondary byproduct. And if we're there for the paycheck first and God second, then we'll get it wrong every time if something happens to us, no matter what the subject matter, like it happened to Bernell Stutzman. All right, let's take a shift in topic here. And, you know, Maestro, I've been having withdrawal symptoms because I haven't had a dose of our friend Johnny Paycheck in a while. So if you don't mind, let's go ahead and hear Johnny Paycheck introduce our next feature.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
There he goes, Johnny. Go, Johnny. Well, you know what? Let's just say that something does happen at work that really messes you up, that really challenges your ability to glorify God in the workplace. And so you end up having to leave or shifting careers or whatnot. Well, here's three legitimate work-at-home online jobs that pay you big. And this will be some ideas for you. You know, you could use this to actually do something, maybe even go full-time. Certainly has the potential for doing that if you put enough time into it. Or just some part-time income if that's your preference. Now, this list came from our good friend Kim Commando at the Kim Commando Show. She's a tech guru, and she has a website called commando.com. Very, very good regarding that kind of stuff if you need to do some research. So she went through several different online job-making opportunities to vet them, throwing out trashy websites, throwing out websites that could infect your computer with malicious spyware. And here are three things she came up with as possible online work-at-home job opportunities. Search engine evaluation. Now, this is not one I had ever thought about before, but it actually made a lot of sense. And search engine evaluators run searches for specific products and report on what they find. This kind of work can pay $10 to $14 an hour for every hour that you spend running searches and reporting on the results. Chances are good that you may have to sign a what they call an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, that basically says that you won't tell anybody who you're working with or who you're working for. You know, in order to get one of these jobs, you do have to go through a company, a third-party organization that sets up these kind of jobs. And there's one called LeapForce. LeapForce.com is a good place to do this, to get this kind of work. And if you go to careercallings.net/radio, I'll have a link on my website with today's program. A copy of today's program via podcast on the website that you can click on and get to the leapforce.com website and check it out. Freelancing is another work-at-home opportunity, whether it's writing, whether it's drawing, whether it's doing videos, producing videos, or any other one-off type project. Everyone could use a freelancer from time to time. And there are a massive number of websites where freelancers of all shapes and sizes meet. A few websites that could work out for you there. Odesk.com. It's an all-purpose freelancing website where freelancers write up profiles, apply for gigs, and establish regular relationships. Writer Access, one of many writer-focused freelancing websites. Elance, which is one of the biggest freelance websites in the world. All kinds of gigs there. LiveOps and ListVerse. ListVerse is a site that pays you $100 for any written list that they accept, and that's a pretty cool website. Check that out, and I'll have links to that on my webpage as well. Transcription is a third example, and transcription, all kinds of opportunities with transcription, medical transcription, audio and video transcription, and we'll talk more about transcription opportunities in the future. Well, that's a wrap for today's program. Get your free copy of this podcast at careercallings.net/radio. And remember, your job at the workplace is to glorify God first, everything else second.